This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, everybody? It's Bo here with another House of the Dragon TV talk. All right, the continuation of recasting is not going to stop. So I was watching this episode, and obviously we're in the midst of a very awkward funeral where all of the awkward family drama is very awkward. But this entire time I'm sitting here watching this episode, I'm really trying to reconnect with Rhaenyra and really struggling. I mean, I'm sure I'll get there. And on top of that, we're spending a lot of time with all these kids and all of their whole interpersonal dynamics. And, you know, the kid doesn't have a dragon. He's made fun of by his cousins. But then the cousins aren't really like his full cousins because of, you know, the whole situation there. And then his other cousin dies. And so he's going to get her dragon. But then her kids feel like they should get the dragon because, in all fairness, they should probably get the dragon. And then he bonds with it. But now he's got it. And it's like the giantest of all the dragons. And then he loses an eye, and then everybody gets all stabby stabby, and then the kid's like, you know what, I'm actually cool with this. Like, you didn't even have to, like, you know, it's fine. I got a dragon, y'all. You know, I can give you another eye if you want. Probably not that. Anyway, point is, I'm trying to, like, identify with the kids. I get it. Aegon is the jerk, right? He is essentially our new Joffrey. Then you got one-eyed McGillicuddy Targaryen Hightower dude, pirate kid. And he's got the biggest dragon, and so that's a thing. They also have a sister who's kind of weird. She's got her old little, you know, side thing going on, who's betrothed to her oldest brother because Targaryens, I guess. And speaking of which, you've got, you know, niece marrying uncle. It's all very Targaryen. But here's the thing with the whole recasting thing, because I'm going to keep coming up with this, because this is something they've doing this season. It is continuously, we've been rotating out cast to deal with, I guess, the aging of the characters. But I realized this episode why it's starting to, like, I don't know, like, break things a little bit for me. And it's really because of Daemon, okay? Like, all of the other characters either get recast or age up. Meanwhile, Daemon Targaryen looks exactly the same as he did 20 years ago. Like, what's up with that? Like, he's sitting here next to his brother, who's, like, on, like, becoming, like, this ancient, you know, weathered individual. And I know he's sick, but even still, I think that's supposed to tell the passage of time, not just because he's sick, but also because he's old. And Daemon's just here. He's just fine. He's like Benjamin Buttoning. He's like the Benjamin Button of the Targaryen family. But that kind of broke things for me. And as we're, like, we're wrapping up this episode, like, and, you know, all of the interpersonal dynamics of the kids and everything has all been established, like, literally, as the credits are rolling, I turn to my wife and I say, I bet they're going to recast all these kids next week. And lo and behold, looking at the preview for next week, you know what's going to happen. So it's like, the recasting thing is just broken for me. Beyond that, too, I don't know who we're supposed to pull for. And maybe the whole point is we're not supposed to pull for anybody. Like, it's like Secession. They're all terrible. But even Secession kind of made you like their characters, even despite the fact that they're all terrible. And here, I don't like anybody. Like, everybody's kind of awful. I mean, like, maybe the Elder Valyrians, but, like, otherwise, like, we're not really pulling for anyone here. Admittedly, one-eyed dude, who's Aemon, by the way, Aemon Targaryen, which, by the way, isn't that Master Aemon? So this is the guy whom which the maester at the Night's Watch will someday be named for, now that I think about it. Anyway, point is, they're all terrible. I don't care who wins. I know they're all gonna die, and I don't know if I'm enjoying the show or not. I really don't. It was starting off, I thought, fairly strong, but ever since the shakeup, I've had a harder time reconnecting with it. And, you know, I've been making the points for my Rings of Power TV talk episodes about the fact that these two series are very specifically like being pitted head to head. And I thought starting out, House of the Dragon was, like, way ahead of Rings of Power. And Rings of Power has had, like, a very, like, it's struggled this season, I think, overall, with just kind of being slower and trying to establish all of these different characters and kind of all these different side plots. But with more recent moves that was just made this week on Rings of Power, or at least last week on Rings of Power, I feel like, you know, they've kind of, like, they've positioned themselves now to be, you know, leapfrog House of the Dragon. And I don't know. I really just don't know how this season is going to fall out. I want to like someone, even if I like hate them. You know what I mean? I just want to kind of like to hate them. Like, even if they're on the wrong side, we need like a Tyrion to make a comparison here. We hate the Lannisters. We love Tyrion. We kind of need that kind of character. And I don't see that character anywhere. So I don't know. We'll see next week when we once again get a whole different cast of characters coming in to play all these kids, whom I guess now we're supposed to follow the kids, because obviously a lot of the Civil War happens between the kids. You do see, by the way, throughout this episode, like, the battle lines being drawn, right? Like, who's going to be on what side? We get kind of the first calling of like the Hightower contingency as the Greens. So you have the kind of the green dragon, so to speak. We also, I mean, like, you get the sense that this is the last time that they're all together as a family, at least on this series anyway, before the Civil War really gets started. And it does seem like the Civil War is about to really get started. Who's watching these kids? Okay, now this is the other thing too. They're all fighting. They're grabbing rocks and knives and everything else, and the kid loses an eye. I'm like, who is watching these? They're supposed to have like royal guards, right? I don't know. It just, okay. Anyway, so yeah, so this episode is what it is. Overall, a lot of very awkward, tense, drawn out scenes. Lenore goes off with his guy and fakes his own death, kills some dude working for his dad and burns his body. Sure, guess that's okay, because Valyrians, I guess. See, they're all awful. Y'all awful. I hate you. I hate every single one of y'all. Most all of you. I don't like any of you. That's the problem. I need to like somebody. Just give me somebody to like. That's all. Give me somebody. I don't know. Y'all liking anybody? Let me know what your thoughts are. Head over to Twitter. Use the hashtag. Let's go with Dragons TV Talk. That might make it easy. Go Dragons TV Talk. Let me know, who do you like on this series? Like, who are you pulling for? Who are you connecting with? Viserys, in all fairness, is kind of a nice guy. He's a little, you know, not a great king, but I mean, all things considered, he's likable, but we all know he's not long for this world. And he's more pitiable than, like, you're not really pulling for him. I don't know. That is going to do it for me, but again, let me know your thoughts. You can find all of our contact information and more at tvtalk.fm. That's going to do it for me for today, but don't worry, I'll be back in a flash.
Hey, Drew Scott here. And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price, and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.